Well, Richter replied, depending on your perspective, this is actually the easiest part. The pot is right below a large tree. That tree grows out of the shelf of stone that the cave is set in. The shelf is well covered with foliage and small shrubbery that leads all the way to the edge of the encampment and into the forest. Sion nodded, being well familiar with the layout of the camp. Now, Richter said with a barely concealed smile, when you climb out onto the tree branch. An hour later, Sion was still cursing the stupid human and his own greater stupidity for agreeing to this horrible plan. As much as he wanted to plant an arrow in Richter, though, he had not come up with a better idea of how the two of them could kill more than 50 goblins. He moved along the escarpment not 10 feet above the grunting goblins, hearing a mixture of common speak and their own guttural tongue. Sion moved slowly. Despite his justified faith in his concealment skills, one stumble or loose rock would mean his death. If they were able to subdue him rather than kill him outright, well, it did not bear thinking about. Goblins were the racial enemies of the wood sprites, and tales of their savagery kept many a sprite child up late into the night. Keeping one eye on the goblins and the other on where to find his next hand or foothold, he moved along the rocky shelf until reaching the tree. He climbed up the trunk and then out onto its limbs, grateful for the added cover of the large leaves. Sion slowly crawled out onto the branch above the stew pot. Looking down, the sprite saw too many eyes looking at the pot in anticipation and dared not drop the jar of poison at this point. He and Richter had agreed that the return of a patrol would provide the best distraction. Waiting on the tree limb, he attempted to ignore the burn from the fire 20 feet below and remove the stoppers from both clay pots. As he slowly warmed, he vowed to repay that wretched human for this. He had seen that poorly concealed smile on Richter's stupid large face. Luckily, Sion did not need to wait too much longer. There was a clamor to the south of the camp as a group of 7 goblins returned, blathering loudly about whatever stupid thing they had found on their patrol. Sion never would have thought he would be happy about the inane babbling of goblins, but it worked to distract the rest of the camp for a few seconds. In those moments of misdirection, he dropped the 2 jars of poison he had prepared. He held his breath during the shortfall, praying his aim was true. Success! Both jars dropped into the pot. They quickly sank, thanks to the stones he had placed in each jar to increase their weight. Some poison had fallen out upon striking the surface of the soup, but luckily whatever vile ingredients the goblins had found to make their stew left an oily surface. The dark color of the poison he had prepared could not be distinguished in the firelight. He started the slow climb back to the safety of the forest and began to silently curse that damn human again. Sion made his way back to the stand of trees that had been hiding them for the last day without issue. They waited for another hour and then, cautiously, made their way back to the encampment. When they got there, they realized they could have broken every branch they found along the way and they would not have been detected. The stench of the camp had been increased 5-fold. The bowels of every goblin present had been released from both ends, and almost all were on the ground, groaning. Richter looked at Sion, expecting to see another bloodthirsty grin, but all he saw on the sprite's face was grim resolve.
"I take no joy in slaughter," Sion said, arching his back and rolling his shoulders, "but I will not shy from it either."
They knocked arrows to their bows and began. It took very little skill to strike the goblins, since they were barely moving targets. They had decided not to imbue their first shots for several reasons. One, to keep the encampment from knowing their position as long as possible. Two, neither had enough mana to imbue the amount of arrows that would have been required for all of their targets. Three, Sion had coated all of their arrows with even more poison. Luckily, they should have more than enough arrows. Hisako had given them several dozen each prior to leaving the hearth tree. In the night, the arrows were nearly invisible. The whist sound they made as they cut through the air was not loud enough to attract the attention of the goblins. Not when the green creatures were already mired in their own personal hell. At near point-blank range, their shots struck necks and chests center mass. Apparently the goblins' sickness and position qualified them as helpless, because it seemed to Richter there were an inordinate amount of critical hits. That, coupled with the damage the poison had already done, meant one arrow was usually enough to finish each goblin. They killed 10 in as many seconds, though Sion racked up far more frags. 15 more goblins died before the camp at large became aware of them. Even then, the cries of alarm were ignored for a few critical moments, being mistaken for the already existing moans of pain. By the time there was a coordinated counterattack, they had killed more than half of the goblins, leaving between 15 and 20 scouts and warriors. As the goblins began to move towards the two archers, Richter's shots grew more erratic, some missing, others hitting limbs, but few striking critical points. Sion, though, was able to strike 3 more, this time infusing the strikes with mana. The scouts' smoking chests made clear that they would not rise again. The first scout reached Richter, and he smashed it in the face with the end of his bow. Stepping forward to give Sion the time to make a few more precious shots, he raised his knife and slashed at the next goblin. It ducked, sending a vicious swipe of its own knife back at him. His longer reach kept the scout from reaching him with its blade, but several more were right behind it. A third scout grabbed his right leg and held tight. With the decreased mobility, Richter was not able to move out of range of the one he was already fighting. The goblin's scout dove towards him, a blade in his outstretched hand. The green creature managed a shallow cut on Richter's left leg. Hunching over slightly, Richter drove the pommel of his knife into the head of the goblin holding his right leg. The goblin loosened his grip. At the same time, Richter grabbed the other goblin by the shirt and pulled forward. The small attacker fell over easily, off balance after his lunge. Richter quickly stabbed down into the goblin's green neck, causing a spurt of blackish blood, then whipped his blade at the goblin holding him. It went down, wailing and holding its face. Seeing 3 more almost upon him, he fell back. Scooping up his bow, he turned to run, shouting in sprite speak, "Fade back to the trees! We will thin them there!" A final blue streak shot right above his head and elicited a squeal of pain behind him. Sion had been able to kill 2 others during Richter's brief knife fight. That left about 10 on their feet. Furious expressions were on the goblins' faces. Running as fast as he could, he saw Sion join him on the right, the sprite's legs pumping as quickly as possible. The run was dangerous. Clouds obscured the sky, and even when there was a break, only 2 crescent moons could be seen. Obstacles were only given partial definition as they ran past. They continued on for a couple minutes, easily increasing their lead on the sick goblins. Before the attack, Sion had found a clearing. They had marked it as a retreat point, and it was where they were headed now. Once it was in sight, Richter turned his head and shouted in sprite speak, "Go up in the trees! I'll make a stand on the other side! When they run past you, start firing!" Nodding, Sion ran for another half minute and then jumped to a low-lying branch, scurrying up into the tree with his uncanny swiftness. Turning back, Richter checked his quiver, finding only 2 arrows left. This might be bad, he thought. Taking a deep breath, he centered himself and looked back in the direction of their pursuit. Only a few moments passing before the first of the goblins became visible through the trees. Seeing their quarry again, they screamed in rage, their bloodlust giving them the strength to ignore their sickness from the poison, if only momentarily. 2 scouts ran ahead of the others, blind in their bloodlust. Richter watched them approach, waiting for a clear shot. He didn't release his first shot until the scout was only 20 yards away. Now was not a time for subtlety, and he chose not to risk aiming for a critical shot to the head. Instead, he targeted the goblin's chest. The arrow punched all the way through his target, and the arrow had exploded from the green-skinned scout's back. His attacker was knocked back several feet and crumpled to the ground. The scout squealed out his last breaths, reminding Richter of the noise his uncle's horse had made when it broke its leg in a rabbit hole. Pushing aside the horrible sound, he knocked and drew his last arrow. The shot fired at a second scout at point-blank range. The goblin caught the arrow high in the left chest, and his next breath turned into a bloody cough. The scout's forward momentum continued, and the body crashed into Richter as the goblin shook in death throes. Richter shoved the small body to the side and stomped down once. A sharp crack issued from the goblin's neck, and that was the end of the creature's pitiful cries. Looking up, Richter saw the remaining six goblins coming within sight range in the waning light. Unfortunately, there appeared to be three goblin warriors in the group. Unstringing his bow, he held the curved 4.5 feet of wood in one hand with his dagger in the other. Looking at the green-skinned devils with black blood dripping down his face, the putrid taste of it having worked its way into his mouth at some point, Richter's nostrils flared as he screamed, "Come on, then!" Screaming back with equal rage, they moved forward en masse. As soon as they passed the tree that hid Sion, a blue streak shot down and pierced one warrior through the shoulder. The force of the blow tore the goblin's arm completely off. The warrior fell to the ground, screaming. Spurts of black arterial blood escaped into the air as the fallen brute felt in vain for his missing limb, the grim reality not yet setting in. In as many moments, a second and third arrow struck another soldier in the back and a scout in the head. It did not escape Richter's notice that the second arrow had barely any concussive force, though it did knock the warrior onto its face. The third arrow, while deadly, had no blue tinge at all. The sprite had finally run out of mana. Having revealed his position, it was easy for the last warrior to target Sion. The goblin threw his heavy dagger into the tree, and though Richter couldn't see the impact, he heard a cry of pain. The sprite's body hit the ground with a thud, apparently stunned for a moment as he did not immediately get up. The dagger was sticking out of his shoulder. The warrior pulled an iron-headed cudgel from his belt and moved toward where Sion's body had fallen. Not willing to let his comrade be executed, Richter started forward, swinging his bow in a large arc at the three scouts that were converging on him. The first two ducked out of the way, but he clipped the last, sending the bastard spinning to the side. In quick response, the first scout drove its dagger into the meat of Richter's thigh, sending a blaze of agony through him. The second goblin swung a club into his chest, but thankfully the smaller creature lacked the strength to overcome the defense of his chest plate. Though the blow hurt, Richter suffered no damage. Grabbing the arm of the goblin that held the knife, he kept him from withdrawing its blade from his leg, and he drove his own bronze dagger down into his enemy's neck. The weapon was too weak to bite very deep, but when Richter withdrew the blade, it was clear he had struck a major vessel. More black blood sprayed across his face in a strong jet. A look of profound shock appeared on the dying goblin's face as the small creature opened and closed his mouth quickly, with only blood escaping. The goblin fell, releasing his grip on the dagger. The damage was already done, though. 20% of his health was gone. The Chaos Seed's leg failed, causing him to collapse to the side. This might have been all that saved him. The third goblin that had been struck by his bow at the start of the melee had gotten quickly back to his feet. The furious scout jumped towards Richter, but his sudden collapse caused it to miss. Richter and the two remaining scouts landed together in a heap. With a short and strong surge, Richter rolled himself up on top of them, plunging his dagger down again and again. He screamed unintelligibly, roaring his defiance and dominance. For a few seconds, he was lost in the black haze of their blood and his own pain and rage. Coming back to himself, he saw the ruin of meat beneath him, and he remembered his companion. Richter looked, stricken, in the direction of the goblin warrior, expecting to see it holding a cudgel slick with the sprite's blood and brain matter. He could not have been more wrong. Sion was on his feet. He and the goblin warrior wove back and forth in a deadly dance. The sprite's thorn-like sword darted in and out, trying to skewer the goblin as the warrior's cudgel swung in strong arcs attempting to crush the smaller fighter. The sprite's advantage was his speed, but he was clearly pained by the dagger sticking out of his shoulder. The goblin had greater size and strength, but the poison must have slowed him down considerably, as its motions seemed somewhat sluggish. Moving forward to help his comrade, Richter limped across the clearing as quickly as he could. Before making it halfway, though, the fight concluded. Fainting forward, Sion immediately leaned back again. The overhand swing of the goblin's weapon just missed the sprite's head before it struck the ground solidly. In that half-second of overextension, Sion stepped inside of the goblin's guard. Almost delicately, he drove his sword under the warrior's chin and up into the fighter's brain. Sion stared his fallen foe in the eye for a moment until the spark of light died. Then he withdrew his sword and stepped back, letting the body slump to the ground. The two companions looked at each other, surrounded by a charnel house of their own creation. The horrid images did not reach them, though, as both were still caught in the embrace of bloodlust and pain. The death and gore registered no more than a second-place runner registered to a gold medalist at the end of a race. They were still standing, breathing heavily through their pain. They looked each other in the eye, and Richter verbalized what was on both of their minds. "Let's finish this." They both used Richter's healing ring once each. The magic was enough to close their major wounds and to stop the bleeding, though neither was at full strength. They also both consumed forest sage, which Sion had confirmed was a basic healing herb. Retrieving what arrows they could, they hastened to get back to the encampment and then up to the cave upon the hill. They had not forgotten time was limited to kill the goblin chief before any patrols made their way back. Though the fight had been intense and painful, it had barely lasted 15 minutes. If they did not waste time, they might still accomplish their goal. Richter picked up a sword dropped by a goblin warrior on the way back to the ruin. Checking its stats as he walked, he was underwhelmed. You have received Crude Goblin Cutlass, damage 2-4, max 5-6, durability 7/12, item class common, quality poor, weight 3.1 kilograms. It did supplement his bronze dagger, however, which was down to a durability of 4/20. Arriving back at the encampment, they made their way through the bodies, quickly ending the lives of any of the goblins still breathing. As they went about their grim work, one tense moment did arise. A warrior that had been feigning injury turned quickly as they passed and drove a short sword towards Richter's stomach. The Chaos Seed knocked the blade aside with his bracer, however, and Sion stabbed the warrior through the throat. Looking down, Richter spit upon its dead body and then picked up the short sword. You have received Soldier's Short Sword. Damage, 7-9. Durability, 26/30. Item class, common. Quality, average. Weight, 1.5 kilograms. Thanks, asshole, Richter said with contempt, dropping the inferior cutlass he had been carrying. It didn't take long to reach the mouth of the cave. They both looked at each other wearily. Sion peered at Richter directly in the face, saying, "We are now brothers in blood. Though I am not immortal like you seem to be, my soul is. If it is my time to rejoin the universe, then I will do it gladly if it removes this threat to my people." Nodding back, Richter said, "It is noble to die for your people, but I say, let's make these bastards die for theirs." A grin on his face showed blood-streaked teeth as Sion smiled back crazily. With that, they entered the darkness. Chapter 9, Day 9, Sanren 29, 15,368 ABG.
"How much mana do you have left?" Richter asked. "I've managed to recover about 35 points, enough to imbue 2 or 3 arrows, or 1 very strong strike."
Richter absorbed this information silently. At his current state, his wisdom had only 10 points. That equated to 1 mana point regenerated every 10 seconds. Sion's wisdom had 15 points, which would increase mana regeneration, but not by much. The risks of waiting for full regeneration outweighed the benefits, though, when those roving patrols of goblins were factored in. And so, the two companions made their way forward into what was clearly not a natural formation. Though the outside looked like rough-hewn stone, the inside of the cave showed tight-fitting blocks comprising a hallway of gray marble. Richter could only imagine that the opening, having been exposed to the elements, had eroded over time, while deeper into the structure, the original architecture had been preserved. Their footsteps echoed as they moved forward. There was a sense of heaviness and age to the place. It was clear from the lack of trash and offal that not even the goblins had the nerve to disrespect this hallowed hall. They listened intently, but heard no signs of life. The sun had set as they had made their way back to the encampment, but it would not have mattered if it was noon on a clear day. Sunlight had clearly never reached the depths of these passages. Using a torch taken from the goblin encampment, they moved forward in a small sphere of flickering light, the entire rest of the world seemingly draped in darkness. They walked for several hundred yards, steadily going deeper as the floor sloped downward. After a final turn of the hallway, they walked into a large gallery. The ceiling reached more than 100 feet into the air, and multiple hallways branched out irregularly from the roughly circular room. All of this was of less importance, however, than the room's occupants. They had finally found their quarry. In the middle of the room there stood a large goblin with a reddish hue to its green skin. There was a second, slightly taller figure reclining against a large mound. The goblin chief was just over 4 feet tall and powerfully built. It wore leather boots and a tunic made of poorly sewn together animal skins. Over this was a chainmail shirt with a large rent in the side, most likely created when the chief had killed the previous owner. A large axe was by its side, and a buckler hung from its arm. It leaned heavily upon its weapon and glared with all of the animosity its weakened body would allow. Big Red's companion was 5 feet tall, or would have been if it were not hunched over. The figure was covered in black robes. Dark splotches gave a matted look to the rough material in places, giving that blacker-than-black appearance that is only imparted by congealed blood. It had sickly, mustard-yellow skin and was completely bald. The face was more human than the other goblins, but its beady eyes imparted the same malicious glare as the goblins. The deep wrinkles on its face gave the appearance of old age. The yellow goblin held a staff in one hand with a small animal skull attached to the top. Red veins glowed along its black length, the color throbbing at the pace of a measured heartbeat.
"Hobgoblin," Sion spat.
The mage nodded, a smug smile on its face. It was the chief who spoke in guttural but clearly understood common tongue.
"Why are you here? Why is a human allied with this forest rat?" "You are in the forest of Nadria, filth," Sion shouted back. "Answer instead why you, a fire goblin from the mountain tribes, has come to sully this ancient place. What is your purpose?"
A raspy chuckle came from the hobgoblin, with a loud, breathy whisper sounding like the crumpling of old parchment. It said,
"Have you forgotten so quickly? Have your people forgotten so easily the places of power that exist in the world? We are here with a glorious purpose, to reawaken the forces and corrupt them. We will cleanse the forest of..."
All Richter saw was a blue flicker, and then the hobgoblin's body was flying backward. Looking to his right, Sion shrugged.
"I decided it was time to fight, not talk."
"Guess that makes me Eastwood," Richter thought with a grin, drawing his own arrow and firing at the goblin chief. The chief blocked with its buckler, clearly not easy prey like the dead goblins outside the cave. Richter drew again, confident that the two of them could overcome the sickened goblin. But then the mound that the hobgoblin had leaned against turned around. Richter was suddenly staring into the bloodshot eyes and frothed muzzle of a rabid cave bear. "You have got to be kidding me!" That was Richter's repeating thought as he began to launch arrow after arrow at the bear. Unfortunately, his short bow lacked the power to deeply penetrate the bear's body. Richter dodged to the side as the rabid animal took a swipe at him with its massive paw. Despite his efforts, it still caught him in the side and flung him several feet through the air. He landed hard, losing 15% of his health from a glancing strike. Rolling with the blow, he regained his feet only to see an axe head swinging at him from the left. Falling on his backside again, he felt a brush of air on his face as the axe passed only a finger length over his head. Dropping his bow, he drew and threw his dagger in a weak underhand toss towards the goblin chief's face. The buckler again moved to block the strike, knocking the projectile to the ground. The distraction allowed Richter to regain his feet and draw his short sword. He began to swing his blade with an untrained but furious barrage at the goblin chief. He had to hope that Sion could occupy the bear. The boom he heard from his right, followed by a roar of pain and anger, gave him hope for a respite from the animal. As he rained blows upon his foe, it was clear that the poison had taken a toll. A particularly heavy blow drove the chief down to one knee. Grabbing the buckler attached to the goblin's right forearm, he pulled the chief forward, off balance. The goblin fell to an awkward stance on all fours, one shoulder higher as it braced the buckler against the ground. The goblin chief's prone position offered Richter the opportunity he needed. With his stamina lower to 30%, he reversed his grip on the short sword and drove the blade down through the goblin's back. The 2 feet of blade penetrated the chainmail covering Big Red and sank down until only a few inches remained free. The chief shuddered and then died. Turning to his right, Richter saw Sion running from the bear. The sprite was quickly losing ground. Scooping up the axe, he threw it with all of his strength. The weapon was strangely unwieldy and only struck a glancing blow against the animal. It did pull the bear's attention, though, and the animal turned to lumber toward its latest aggressor. As it hobbled its way toward him, it was clear that it had suffered damage, but it was still hale enough to be able to cause him serious injury. Placing his foot on the body of the chief, Richter attempted to pull his sword out of the body. It was stuck fast. At his current state of low stamina, Richter could barely muster the strength to continue. Thankfully, an arrow from Sion struck the bear in its hamstring, causing its leg to collapse. Richter sighed in relief. The bear had only been a few feet away when it dropped. Richter drew his battered knife and prepared for a last stand as it continued to crawl towards him. That was when he saw Sion lightly jump onto its back and swiftly run towards its neck. With a sharp jab, the sprite plunged his sword into the crook of the bear's neck and front leg. When the sword came out, there was a bright red spray of arterial blood. As its lifeblood spilled on the floor, the bear made a pitiful mewling noise and then finally collapsed. Feeling exhausted, Sion looked up just in time to see a dark bolt of energy surging from the magician's staff. The only cover available was the bear's body. Sion dropped, placing the animal's body between him and the hobgoblin. There was no great blast of force like with the imbued arrows. Instead, dark tendrils of magic crawled over the bear's body, liquefying the flesh and causing large gobbets of meat to slough off. Richter picked up his bow again and shot an arrow at the mage. The results were less than impressive. The arrow bounced off an invisible barrier surrounding the black-clad figure. The red light of the mage's staff began to throb faster and with more intense red color, looking like lava seen through basalt. There could not be much time until the mage released whatever horrible spell it was building up to. Basic rule of thumb was that the longer a spell took to cast, the more powerful the result. Richter knew this would most likely be no different. With no time to lose, he knocked another arrow, giving his complete focus on imbuing it with his mana. After only a moment, it glowed golden. He released, and this time the arrow maintained its shine as it streaked towards the mage. It too struck an invisible barrier, but the extra force added caused the hobgoblin to stagger. Once the mage lost focus on the spell it was building, the light gathering at the staff's tip died. A second, and possibly more important consequence, was that the hobgoblin grabbed its head in both hands and shouted out in pain. The spell backlash from the interrupted casting must have been horrible based on the pitiful cries. Knocking another arrow on the string, Richter once again focused his magic in the arrow, pouring more energy than before. For one, then two heartbeats, he held his bow at full extension as the golden glow brightened and black streamers seemed to cross over the golden shell. Then he released. The resultant boom deafened both he and Sion momentarily. The mage must have lost the ability to maintain its shield with the backlash. The arrow flew unimpeded and then detonated on target. The chest of the yellow-skinned mage caved inward, and a red mist appeared in the air. The staff fell from its outstretched fingers as the robed body was flung backwards. Richter ran forward and plunged his dagger into the mage's yellow neck. He sawed back and forth, making a large hole. With a last expulsion of air, black blood sprayed over Richter's chest, and the hobgoblin died. The stench of blood, viscera, and feces filled the room after the fierce fight. The two companions stood and looked at their vanquished enemies. Having given it their all, they both stumbled towards the center of the room and the body of the slain goblin chief. Standing there above its body, they suddenly heard raised voices and angry cries coming from the tunnel. It could only mean one thing. A patrol had returned. Richter looked to Sion.
Run! I don't have much stamina left to resist them, but I will be reborn if I die. You won't!
Grimly, Sion looked back.
The only known way to the surface is the direction they are coming from. Personally, I have no interest in dying alone in the dark at the claws of some subterranean monster. I will stand or fall with a friend.
With that, he stuck out his arm, which Richter clasped, each holding the other's wrist. Sion released his grip and said,
Now move quickly. We have one chance. Goblins are cowards at heart, and will always bow to those of greater strength. Take the axe and remove the chief's head.
Not wasting time asking more questions, Richter picked up the axe. Again, it seemed somehow to want to squirm out of his grasp, but his control was sufficient for this task. He struck down at the chief's neck, severing it in two strokes. Seeing a clear gem by the chief's body, he also picked that up and put it in his pouch.
Now pick up the head and stand by me with the axe at your side,
Sion instructed hurriedly. And so the companions stood, awaiting the goblins as the noise of their approach grew louder. The sprite was covered in gore and blood, a large tear in his cheek where the bear had scored a hit upon him. The chaos seed was favoring one leg. The wound from his skirmish with the scouts had reopened during this latest fight. Richter's green armor was bespeckled with blood, both red and black. Despite his exhaustion, he stood tall and held the chief's head by the hair. Drippings of blood made a soft pat-pat on the floor as the head surrendered its remaining fluids. This was the sight that greeted the goblins that filed into the open space of the cavern.
Sion said in the common tongue,
This is our land! We will nourish it with your blood, as we did the blood of your comrades. The land is always thirsty.
Richter followed in the goblin's own tongue.
I have taken the head and axe of your leader. I will take your souls as well. This was not enough.
And with that, he tossed the chief's head to lie at their feet. Then he shouted,
Kill them!
Sion released an arrow, bright blue with magic, at the one warrior in the group. The imbued shot impacted against the goblin's face, killing him instantly. Where the sprite had mustered enough mana to imbue another shot, Richter didn't know, but he was absolutely thankful. In the same moment, Richter ran at the remaining scouts, screaming with the axe raised above his head. This was too much for the simple-minded goblins. The group had just walked over the bodies of dozens of their people, and it had only been the strong will of the warrior that had propelled them forward this far. Seeing a blood-drenched warrior running at them, they squealed and ran, dropping weapons behind them in their urgency to escape. Richter chased them only to the edge of the chamber before stopping and lowering the axe. The damn unwieldy weapon seemed as much a risk to him as the enemy. As he watched the back of the last goblin turn the corner, a short gasp escaped him, followed by a loud grunt, and then quickly followed by laughter. the type of laughter that can only come from the mouth of one who has passed through the shadow of death's domain and come out alive. He laughed to release all the tension he had accumulated through the dark day. He laughed in a vain attempt to balance out the horror of the slaughter he had committed. He laughed at the ridiculousness that he could still be alive. As the peals of manic laughter followed the goblin scouts, they ran all the harder, first out of the cave, then away from the ruins and into the forest. They met up with other patrols, and the fear in their faces convinced those patrols to flee the forest as well. The goblins never fully rested until they had reached their swampy homeland. When they arrived, they passed along the horrible tale of the wild, laughing demon that had slain so many of their people. Chapter 10, Day 9, Sanran 29, 15,368 ABG. As his mania left him, Richter slumped to the floor where he stood. He barely noticed Sion coming and sitting beside him. The two leaned back to back, supporting each other physically, as they had come to do in all other arenas of their interaction. For a while, that was all they did. Neither could say how long had passed as they gazed at the bodies of the dead or simply gazed off into space, caught in their own musings. Sitting there, Richter became aware of a slow blinking in the corner of his vision. He turned his head, but it remained stubbornly at the mid-right aspect of his gaze. Puzzled for a moment, he finally realized what it was. He relaxed his vision and saw an icon like an unrolled scroll. Focusing upon it for a moment, his vision filled with announcements. You have reached level 3. Through hard work, you have moved forward along your path. As a Chaos Seed, you gain 6 points to distribute to characteristics instead of the usual 4. You also get 25% advancement to the skill of your choice. Crush your enemies. Honor your allies. Live! You have reached level 4. Through hard work, you have moved forward along your path. As a Chaos Seed, you gain 6 points to distribute to characteristics instead of the usual 4. You also get 25% advancement to the skill of your choice. Crush your enemies. Honor your allies. Live! You have either characteristic points or skill percentage points to allocate from the previous level. Now that you have progressed again, you must allocate your points within the next week or they will randomly be assigned for you. You have completed the quest Cleanse the Forest 2. Return to the Hearthmother to collect your reward. You have completed the quest Cleanse the Forest 3. Return to the Hearthmother to collect your reward. Congratulations! You have reached skill level 3 in archery. Plus 2% bonus to aim. Plus 2% bonus to damage. Congratulations! You have reached skill level 4 in archery. Plus 2% bonus to aim. Plus 2% bonus to damage. Congratulations! You have learned the skill Swordsmanship. The pen may be mightier than the sword, but in another, much more real way, it isn't. Congratulations, you have reached skill level 2 in light armor, plus 2% to defense of all light armor. Congratulations, you have received racial bonus level 1 versus goblins, plus 3% attack and defense bonus when fighting goblins. Kill total 100 goblins to reach next level. Your relationship with your companion Sion has improved from distrust to friendly. All these status windows were wonderful news to Richter. They must have been accumulating since the initial attack on the sickened goblins, but had been auto-minimized. Thank God for that. It could certainly have meant his death if a prompt blocked his view in the middle of a battle. What caused his eyes to widen and his mouth to run dry was the final prompt. Congratulations, you have cleansed a hidden village. As owner of the Heart Crystal and because there are no living descendants to the previous owners, you may lay claim. Would you like to claim the village, yes or no? Richter's fingers started tingling as if he was already counting his riches. And why not? It was in his name. Focusing on the yes option, he read the next prompt. Congratulations. You have claimed your first village. You are now master of the Mist Village. Your village is level 1. As you increase the level of the village, more powers and resources will become available. This village is built upon a place of power. As you possess the prerequisite affinities, you are now bonded to this convergence of ley lines. You now have access to the magic and mana associated with this particular place of power. There are many secrets to any location of power, and you must apply yourself to discover and master them. Good luck! Congratulations! You have won plus 700 fame points for founding a village on a place of power. Richter's mouth dropped open in shock. How had this happened? He had woken up naked in the forest barely a week ago. He had only just reached level 4. Now he had his own village? And the fame was nothing to sneeze at. In the game, there had been two basic types of reputation, global and local. Local reputation would increase or decrease based on your interaction with a specific group. Global reputation only really increased in response to fame points, and he had just gotten 700! It was true that global as a term was a bit misleading. It did affect a broad amount of people or an entire region, but to affect another region, there must be some connection between the two, like a trade route. Reputation was not supposed to be a magic aura that just made people respect you more if they could never have heard of you. Even though it didn't affect everyone in existence, global reputation was amazing nonetheless. It opened new quests, allowed for better treatment and better prices. It generally just made life more interesting. Questions buzzed through Richter's mind, and first among them was, "What's a place of power?" he asked musingly.
"A place of power is a nexus of the world's ley lines. It allows for a magnification of those particular powers. Sentient beings can tap into this,"
answered a deadpan voice. Somehow, Richter could tell it put an emphasis on place of power that he had not. Before the second word was spoken, Sion was on his feet, arrow knocked and drawn. Richter was only a moment behind him, dagger pointing out to cover the other half of the room. They looked frantically about but couldn't see anything.
"Who is that?"
snapped Sion. Only silence answered his question.
"We both heard you. Who is there?"
Richter asked, still looking about for a potential enemy.
"I am the interface for your village, master."
"Where are you?"
Richter asked, both exasperated and curious.
"I am present approximately 1 foot to the south of you, master."
"Why can't I see you?"
"My last master did not want me to be seen, so I remain invisible. Would you like to see me, master?"
"Yes,"
Richter replied, scanning the air directly in front of him.
"Show yourself!"
A gray sphere phased into view directly in front of his face. Its surface rippled like water, and it appeared lit from within, a steady and faint glow being cast from its center.
"Gah!"
Richter exclaimed, jumping back.
"Not so close!"
"Yes, master,"
the sphere said, moving back several feet. It continued to hover in the air.
"What are you?"
Richter asked, fascinated by its appearance.
"I am a remnant. An echo of the personality of the first chamberlain of this village. He was a powerful user of magic and served the first ruler of this place of power. Together they built the Mist Village. At the end of his life, the chamberlain imparted intent to a fragment of his immortal soul. He tied it to this place to help guide future masters."
"How long ago was that?"
"My initial activation was 30,543 years before the removal of the gods from the land."
"That's impossible,"
Sion said, his tone clearly conveying his lack of trust of the floating orb. Of course, who the hell would trust a floating, talking orb?
"What do you want?"
Again, the orb floated in silence.
"Why do you only answer me?"
Richter asked.
"You are the master of the village, and I will only respond to your commands and questions. This was the policy of the last master. He decreed it to be so in order to safeguard the village."
"Well, I command you to talk to and answer Sion."
"As you wish. My goal is to aid my master in any way that I can."
Staring at the globe, Richter huffed. What I really need are these bodies collected.
At the current level of the village, I can summon 10 basic worker constructs immediately. Should I proceed?
Not really expecting an answer to his complaining, Richter was pleasantly surprised. What do you mean, summon?
You are the master of the Mist Village. Being built upon a place of power, the village, and by extension you, have access to a certain amount of mana every day. As the level of the village increases, your access to mana will increase as well. Basic worker constructs cost 100 mana to summon, and each will last one day. You currently have access to a pool of 1,000 mana. As master, you have access to all of these options, though many more will not be available until the level of the village increases. You simply need to focus in order to access the interface.
Richter relaxed his gaze in a now familiar way. Seeing a new icon in the shape of a small cluster of buildings, he mentally clicked upon it. Immediately, a crowded screen occupied his view. A series of pull-down menus were present. Enchantments, summoning, population, income, mana generation, defenses, global relations, and a host of others. Staggered by the amount of options, he simply focused upon summoning. More pull-down options presented themselves, most grayed out and illegible. At the top was Summon Mistworker. Summons a level 1 Mistworker. This creature is able to perform simple tasks of menial labor. The mist-like properties of your constructs have all physical damage. This is a settlement spell. Can only be cast within the domain of your village. Cost 100 mana. Duration 24 hours. Range 10 feet. Cast time 30 seconds. Cooldown not applicable.
You can summon these creatures? Richter asked.
I can only do as you will, Master. If you instruct me to do so, I will implement your command.
Very well. Sion and I have to go back to the home of the Wood Sprites. It may take me several days to return. You have permission to summon these things daily. All of the dead bodies should be stripped of weapons, armor, and items. Take the bodies outside of the village and burn them.
The ley lines which run through this village are strong in water, air, dark, and life. I have no access to fire magic, however, Master. The workers can do everything you have instructed except light the bodies on fire.
Richter looked at Sion. I know you are eager to return home, but we need to take care of these bodies first. We could also use a rest. If I leave these bodies to fester, they will spread disease and pollute my new home.
The sprite nodded. Even though they were goblin filth, we do need to deal with the dead. As you have helped me to cleanse the forest, I will help you to cleanse your new home.
Nodding, Richter turned back to the remnant. What is your name?
I have none, Master.
What was the name of the mage that created you?
His name was Futen Windspeak.
Then I will call you Futen, if you like.
As you wish, Master.
Futen replied in the same deadpan voice. It might have been Richter's imagination, but it seemed that just for a moment, the gray sphere glowed a bit brighter. And enough of this master business. That kind of thing could go to a man's head. Call me Richter.
As you wish, Lord Richter.
Opening his mouth to correct Futen, he closed it again, merely shaking his head slightly. Not worth it. Besides, Lord Richter sounded pretty good. Summon the workers, Futen.
Light gray mist rose from between the cracks in the stone floor. Initially, it was just a shapeless cloud 1 foot off the ground, but it soon began to pool in 10 different spots in the chamber. The mist slowly rose, taking on vague humanoid shapes. Each figure grew distinct but remained faceless. They had no clothing and no sex organs. Under the skin of each figure were slow-moving swirls. The end of each arm was a round, mist-filled sphere. How will they accomplish anything with those blobs for hands?
They can fit any form desired, Lord Richter. Please attend.
And so saying, one worker raised its arm and the sphere became a hand, then a hammer, then a shovel head, before returning to a sphere. Impressed by the versatility of the workers, Richter nodded. Have them begin separating the bodies from their items.
Put those two aside,
he said, gesturing to the chief and hobgoblin. Now, we need a safe place to rest.
This room will be safe, my lord. The workers, though not strong, will delay and alert any attack from above, and no creatures of ill intent from the depths can cross the great seal in the floor you are standing upon.
Nodding wearily, Richter sat down against the most comfortable surface in the chamber, which happened to be the body of the dead bear, just not the liquefied part, of course. Sion sat heavily beside him, the least graceful he had ever seen the sprite. Closing his eyes, Richter's second-to-last thought was, "This is one messed-up teddy bear," followed quickly by him verbalizing, "Wait, what creatures from the depths?"
Chapter 11, Day 10, Sanren 30, 15,368 ABG.
A heavy, bladed axe plunged out of the dark as he fought a losing battle. Stabbing and swinging his sword, he fought as hard as he could. Again and again, the axe gouged into his skin, eliciting blood and pain with each blow. He collapsed, looking up at the goblin chief's face as it peered down at him. The monster raised its axe to strike one last time and sever his head. Gasping, Richter stood swiftly, knife in hand, blinking away the terrors of his dream. After a while, he was able to slow his breathing, but his heart still hammered wildly. He may have done what was needed the night before, but he was still a 24-year-old man from a modern world. Until last week, he hadn't done anything more violent than punch the occasional frat boy that had gotten handsy with his female friends. As he became more aware of his surroundings, he realized Sion was also up with an arrow knocked, looking for the threat. Closing his eyes for a moment, he collected himself, before opening them again and looking at Sion. There is no danger, my friend. None outside of my own nightmares. Sion looked at him, relaxing the draw on his bow.
Yesterday was a dark day, and I think better of you that it could not be so easily dismissed.
With a pause of his own, and then a small smile, he added,
My friend?
Judging by the weariness he felt, they had only dozed for a few hours. The torch had gone out while they were sleeping, but some faint gray illumination filtered down from an unknown source in the ceiling. Richter heard the sounds of activity outside the cave. There was no way he could go back to sleep right now, so he turned to Sion and said,
Let's see what we have.
Richter walked over to the goblin chief's body. He felt his gorge rise at the mix of smells. Copper and nickel from the blood, sour stench from body reek, and the nauseating reek from the feces that had escaped in death. Though he had ignored those in the heat of battle, faced with the harsh reality after a night's rest, he was doubly glad for the workers who would clear the other bodies. Searching the goblin, he first picked up the single-headed axe. You have found Magic Iron Axe. Damage 11 to 17. Durability, 23 of 25. Item class, uncommon. Quality, above average. Weight, 7.2 kilograms. Traits, unknown. Requires strength, 13. Richter had not seen a requirement for weapons before. He could only assume that was because no other items he had acquired had requirements. Or maybe he had met the requirements, so they just hadn't been shown. Either way, it did explain why the axe had seemed to resist him the night before. He also did not know how to identify the axe. He set it aside for now. Placing a foot on the beheaded body, he pulled his short sword free. That done, he stripped the rest of the goblin's armor. He looked at each before setting them aside. You have found wooden buckler, durability 8 of 30, item class common, quality average, defense plus 1, max defense plus 4, weight 2.3 kilograms, Type, light armor. You have found iron mail shirt, durability 16 of 50, item class common, quality poor, defense plus 3, max defense plus 9, weight 9.1 kilograms, type medium armor. You have found hardened leather pants, durability 8 of 20, item class common, quality poor, defense plus 1, max defense plus 2, type light armor. You have found 28 silver and 41 copper. You have found garnet, durability 51 of 74. Moving over to the hobgoblin, Scion had already stripped it of its belongings and had laid them upon the ground. You have found novice black mage robes, defense plus 1, max defense plus 5, additional plus 7 versus magical attack, durability 2 of 27, item class common, quality above average, weight 3.5 kilograms. You have found magic staff, attack 13 to 16, durability 19 of 20, item class rare, quality above average, weight 4.2 kilograms. You have found magic bracelet, durability 10 of 11, item class uncommon, quality above average, weight 0.3 kilograms. You have found 11 silver and 24 copper. You have found unknown potion times 2. You have found unknown potion. Huh. It looked like the attack and defense of the items was affected by their durability. Richter guessed it made sense. Why would armor on its last legs still offer the same protection as when it wasn't beat all to hell? He was happy that he had found loot, but he still didn't know how useful it was. I'd be a lot more excited if I could identify any of this stuff, he verbalized.
I can help with that,
said Futin, materializing just to the side of Richter's face.
Ah! I swear to God I'm going to put a bell on you if you keep surprising me like that!
It was not my intention to frighten you, Lord Richter.
I'm not frightened. Nobody said frightened. I'm just startled. When you approach me in the future, though, become visible a couple of feet, let's say 20 feet away. Understood?
Yes, Lord Richter. Would you like my help?
He thought he heard a bit of attitude in the orb's flat voice, but then he assured himself that was impossible. How can you help?
Normally, to identify an item, you must use a spell or item. Alternately, you can take it to a magical college to have a magician uncover its true identity for you. I have the ability, however, to identify all but the most powerful of items. I can do this now, if you wish.
Can you teach me? Richter asked, eager to have this power.
I am aware of your limitless ability, my lord, but that can only be applied to skills. This is an ability, and I know no way to teach abilities.
Trusting that if there was a way to teach abilities, the remnant would have at least heard of it over the thousands of years of its existence, Richter let the matter drop. Before asking Futin to use his ability, however, a thought occurred to him.
How do you know about my limitless ability?
I possess a skill called Analyze. It allows me to know in-depth information about creatures.
So that is something I can learn. Do you have any other skills?
At this time, I am only aware of one ability and one skill that I have told you about, Lord Richter. As I have only recently been awakened by handling of the heart crystal, my memory is highly fragmented, however. It is entirely possible that as time goes on, I will remember more. Also, if the village rises in level, then I may have access to further powers.
Nodding, Richter said, "Let's identify these items, then. Afterwards, you can teach me your skill." The light within Futin flared white, and suddenly, the information was given to Richter in a series of prompts.
"How is it I suddenly have this information, when you're the one who has the skill?" Richter asked.
"You are the master of this village. As long as we are close to one another, I can give you information without verbalizing. As the village grows, the distance we can interact over will grow as well."
Impressed again at the versatility of this unasked-for helper, Richter focused on the item information. You have found Staff of Decay. Damage 10 to 12. Durability 19 of 20. Item class rare. Quality superb. Weight 4.2 kilograms. Traits plus 4 death damage. Has 5% chance to cause rapid decay upon target from direct strike or when channeling death magic. Requirement, alignment minus 2 or below. You have found Bracelet of Health. Durability 32 of 32. Item class uncommon. Quality superb. Weight 0.1 kilograms. Traits, increase maximum health by plus 43. You have found mana potion. Durability 6 of 6. Potion level, tincture. Strength, weak. Weight, 0.1 kilograms. Will restore 33 mana points over 27 seconds, times 2. You have found health potion. Durability 6 of 6.